Hi, welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne Jakes, Marketing Coordinator at Unique Training Development, here with Kirk Langford, General Manager, today to talk about building high-performance teams in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Good morning, Kirk.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good, as usual.
Good.
So, talking about high-performing teams, this might seem a bit silly, but why is it important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good question to start it off, yeah. I mean, high-performance teams are important because if you want your organization to thrive, not only in terms of getting good results, but getting the right people getting the right results, then you have to think about high-performing teams, right? If we only think about, if we look at a company and we think about how focused they are on tasks and kind of meeting quota and getting product and generating that revenue, great. But we also have to think about the people behind that work, right? And a high-performing team and a high-performing organization is an organization that doesn't only think about, okay, getting the product out the door, getting the task done, but also thinks about thinking about how do we get the best out of people, but also treat them in a way that makes them feel valued and makes them want to stay.
So that's what we have to think about. And I imagine that all falls underneath leadership, doesn't it?
It does in a large way, that's right.
So how would leadership play a crucial role creating high-performing teams?
Yeah, so leadership is an important piece because, yes, we're certainly thinking about everybody on the team being a high performer, of course. So that's not just the leaders, but that's everybody, the direct reports of leaders as well. But I think it has to start with the leader because it has to come from the top down, right? If you're a really hard worker, but you're not feeling like you're getting that same either recognition, appreciation, it's not being noticed, or rather, and maybe even worse, your leader doesn't feel like they're pulling their weight, then you're not going to be a high performer for very long. So I think there has to be consistent messaging and alignment throughout the organization that it's not just certain people that are high performers, but that you're a high performing team together or an organization together.
Now, because I'm kind of on the inside of unique training and development, this made me think about when we're talking about high performing teams, it makes me think about we teach something of the pendulum.
Yes.
So can you speak about what the pendulum is and how that pertains to high performers, middle and low performers, and where maybe leaders should be focusing?
Oh, good point. Yeah. So let's talk about what we call the performance pendulum, right? So the performance pendulum, if you can envision, a pendulum like on a grandfather clock, it swings this way. And on one end, you've got your low performers. On one end, you've got your high performers. And at the middle, you've got your middle performers. And at any given time, usually your low performers are maybe 10 to 20% of your team. Okay. Your high performers are 5 to 10% usually of your team. And your middle performers is everybody else, so kind of 80-ish percent of your team. And when we teach the performance pendulum, essentially what we say is, as a leader, it's really easy to only focus on the low performers and spend all of your time thinking about them and how do I get them up and performing better, what's lacking, what's missing, and then you over-focus on them. But you can also overfocus on your high performers and kind of leave everybody else in the dirt, as it were, right? Oh, well, these guys, these are the only ones that really care. The rest, forget them. And so what can happen is we can overfocus on one of the smaller groups, and then those poor middle performers, which is the bulk of our team, we're kind of forgetting. And instead, we need to think a bit more evenly about all three. So how do we get those lower performers up a little bit more into becoming middle performers? What do we have to do? How do we get the high performers to stay challenged and stay excited about what they're doing and to stay engaged? And then how do we move those middle performers up a little bit? Mm-hmm. And I think the big takeaway that we teach in our training is that don't spend too much of your time on the low performers. Try to focus more on the middle and high performers, and you'll tend to find that your low performers will sort of follow suit. And that's the biggest fault I think that we see, is that companies or teams or leaders spend too much time going, I got to get these low performers up. Instead, don't focus too much on that. Instead, focus on how do I keep the high performers engaged, motivated, excited, challenged? The middle performers, how do I move them up a little bit? How do I turn the dial up? And then, of course, the low performers tend to follow suit to an extent.
Right. So I hear what you're saying about the high performers because, yes, you would, like you said, want to keep them engaged and motivated, or I imagine they might start slipping down, right? They're not getting your attention as the leader. They're not, feeling...
Appreciated.
Noticed. Thank you. That's exactly the word I was trying to find. Yeah, appreciated or noticed. Yeah. So speaking of having, more focus on these high middle performers and hoping that your lower ones will kind of follow suit, are there some effective management practices that these leaders can do to help their high performers stay performing high?
Yeah. Well, there certainly are. I think one of the biggest things to start off is communication. So saying to those people, hey, I get that you're a really great worker. You meet the deadlines. You outperform other people. You're clearly good at what you do. And so I think it's a conversation of what do I need to do to keep you engaged and excited and challenged? All too often, I think as the leader, we're expected, or we think that we're expected, to read their mind or just know what's going to challenge them, instead of sitting them down and saying, Suzanne, you're incredible. You know, I'm so happy to have you on the team and I'm so impressed. What can I do to keep you motivated? Right? And then have you say, well, I'd actually like to dabble in this a little bit, or I'd like to try this out, or, you know, I've noticed that this person gets put on this line. I would be excited to try that new task or learn that. Now, not all high performers will necessarily have a great idea of what it is that they want to do or try or work on. But even getting an idea of, are you open to these other challenges? Usually they are. Usually they will be, because they're high performers. Mm-hmm. But I think it's starting off with the conversation to say, I want to challenge you. I want to make sure you stay engaged. What do you think that looks like for you? And just having that conversation, that's the starting point.
That's a great way, to pull everybody together and talk about them to see what you can do, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of teams, and specifically high-performing teams, or not even high-performing, just teams in general, right? There's always going to be different dynamics. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some people maybe that, like you said, communication lacks, or, you know, maybe some people aren't as great at certain things, or just getting along.
Mm-hmm.
How would you, well, first, I guess, maybe, like, could you define maybe what, like, the team dynamic should be, or what's that look like to you?
Sure,
what would you want in your team?
That's a good question, actually. What's my ideal team dynamic?
Yeah.
I'm gonna dream a little bit here. I think if we start by just looking at thinking about the term team dynamics, I would say it's really just how well the team works together, how well, you know, you can play off each other's strengths, help filling each other's weaknesses. I think that's what I think about with team dynamics, how well people get along as well, right? Not that everybody has to be friends in the workplace. In fact, we don't need to be friends to get the work done, but certainly we want to be able to get along and work respectfully side by side, right? So I think there is no perfect team dynamic. I think what we have to remember is that organizations have a mission, right? They need to get the job done. They need to create revenue, right? They need to make money.
Right.
And so it's sort of like, how can we create a team that helps us meet those targets or those goals or achieve those objectives, okay? While also having a team that goes, I enjoy working on this team. I like being here and I want to stay here. To me, that is really what we're thinking about when we think of team dynamics. So we get the work done and we also relatively, for the most part, enjoy working together. And we communicate well, or when there is a miscommunication, it's handled well to say, hey, I miscommunicated, I'm sorry, or I failed to let you know about that. And instead of people feeling maybe really upset or really angry, they go, hey, it happens to all of us. Or if there's a conflict, for example, being able to get over that conflict in a sort of win-win way, right? So the really win-win-win, which is what we teach in our course, right? So it's the two people in the conflict each feel like they're sort of winning, as well as the organization winning. So I think when you have a team that can do that, you've got a really good team dynamic.
Yeah, that's a great point. When you bring up handling challenges and things like that, I find you and Greg are actually really great at that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, of course, things are going to go wrong, or there's going to be certain things that happen within our own team.
Yeah.
And, if something went wrong, both of you are always like, you know, okay, it happened. Let's, talk about it, decide what we're doing and moving forward. I know maybe not specifically towards like our team, but more so like problems that might arise during our own production or things like that, right?
That's right?
Like there's a problem. Okay, let's not dwell on it. Let's fix it and find a solution.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of organizations that aim to blame a person when something goes wrong, trying to find out who's at fault, who done it. You know, you become Sherlock Holmes trying to solve the mystery.
Right.
And the reality is that in a lot of cases, in most cases, I would say, it's not a person's fault. It's actually a process or a system that's missing a piece, that's not tight enough to kind of fix it. And I think the other thing is that if you hire good people, which most of us try to do, people are okay to be held accountable as long as they're not going to be sort of slammed for making a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's okay, you made a mistake. Let's talk about why it was made. Let's talk about what happened. And let's talk about how to change it so it doesn't happen next time. That's all we want. We just want to make sure that if there was a mistake, it doesn't happen next time. Mm-hmm. And so the conversation's very different if you're saying, hey, you know what, Suzanne, this went wrong. You ordered the wrong workbook. Let's get it fixed this time. And then let's talk about how, why it happened and how we prevent it next time. But it's not, Suzanne, you are going to pay for this. You really messed up this time. Because everybody makes mistakes, right? Like you said, you know, appreciate what you say about Greg and I, but we also make mistakes. Right. But it's a matter of let's move forward and make sure as best we can that we don't make that same mistake again and figure out why we made the mistake in the first place. What was missing, right?
Yeah, well, it just makes me think about, you know, do you know high performing teams and do you like working where you do, you know, is because I think the way we handle challenges or leaders handle challenges are a big part of that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of our staff, when I was having a check-in meeting with them, I said, you know, I really appreciate that you bring ideas forward. I know we don't always take you up on those ideas, but you're always willing to share ideas of, you know, ways you think the company can grow and things you think we should be doing differently, or, you know, why aren't we into this market or that one? I said, you know, it can be frustrating to give an idea or feedback and not have it turn into anything. I said, that's got to be a frustrating feeling, right? But what he said was, he goes, honestly, I give those ideas because I feel comfortable, because you're open to listening to them and you never just shut them down and say, well, that's a dumb idea. And so, you know, what he said was, I'll keep giving ideas because when I give them, they're even if you don't go ahead with them, you receive them in a way that shows you're at least caring about it and you're thinking about it and you respect the fact that I'm coming forward with ideas. And so I thought that was really interesting, that part of a high performing team is even being able to have just that, what we would call psychological safety, that people can give ideas and make suggestions and give feedback and not feel like they're going to be, you know, persecuted for it or yelled at or something because they tried to give feedback or fix something. So,
yeah, what I'm hearing is that high performing teams is about leadership, but also it seems very like strategic. And we were talking about, you know, when there's an issue and having, you know, set things set in line so that if something happens, so it's not all just about effective leadership.
No, it's not.
It's also kind of about how situations and things are set up in your organization, right?
Yeah, I think one other piece I'd add to there is the idea of like empowerment and accountability, right? So if I can give you an example that happened here in our own organization, right? We had a shipment that was supposed to go out of workbooks and other supplies for a training session, right? And what happened is one of the pieces didn't get sent out. It wasn't sent with the shipment. And, you know, we didn't know why at the time, but I happened to be actually off that day, but one of our staff called me, right, and said, you know, I'm so sorry, but this didn't get sent out. And I said, okay, so what's, you know, what's the plan? And oh, well, I've done this and this is going to be our backup plan. I'm told they're going to get there before the session still. So I think we're okay. And even if not, this is our sort of plan B. Mm-hmm. And you know, he kept apologizing profusely for calling me on a day off. And I said, you called me on a day off to tell me there was a problem and then tell me you've completely handled the problem and it's all taken care of. And he was kind of like, yeah, I guess so. And I said, awesome. I can handle a call like that on a day off. That is not a problem. You know,
that's great. Yeah.
And to me, that speaks to a high performing team because that meant that even though I, as the manager, was not working and wasn't involved, he felt empowered to handle it. He felt he had the confidence to know the position and his role and the company and the organization well enough to know what the next steps would naturally be in that scenario. Mm-hmm. And then he was just calling because he's like, I just feel like someone needs to know about it. I'm a little nervous as to whether I did the right thing. I said, you did totally the right thing. And I thought that's pretty cool, you know, that I don't think a lot of us necessarily are in organizations where we feel that if the manager's away, we can necessarily make some of those decisions. And so I think that speaks to empowerment and accountability. I mean, we're a leadership training company. We should be pretty good at empowering and holding people accountable. But it's just exciting to sometimes see what you've taught or what you're teaching in a session come to fruition in your own business. So that was really a good experience.
Yeah. Just there when you said holding people accountable, you've mentioned before that it's not always about, you know, holding them accountable. Accountability can be kind of like consequences, like positive and negative. You always want to be like positively reinforcing consequences maybe, you know, as much as you're holding people accountable.
That's right. Accountability is just facing the consequences of your actions, good or bad. And so if they're good, it's celebrating. If it's bad, it's just saying, what can we do differently?
Absolutely.
Dinner.
Okay, yeah, great, Kirk. This was a great conversation again about building high-performance teams. It's always nice to sit down and get to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Leader Feeder. Bye now.